Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and very excited to have you with us here tonight, as always. It's now officially Friday, June 15th, 2007, midnight here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you listening online. The only officially sanctioned website of the network, that is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Our website, as you know, franklyspeakingradio.com. Lots of great information at both places. And we certainly welcoming to all of you, however you might be listening. I know there's a lot of people listening to this perhaps as rebroadcast in the archives or in a podcast or on AM and FM stations, local micros perhaps carrying the show. Whatever. I welcome to all of you. Glad you're here. Folks, our phone number, as you know, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So we just covered a great deal of information that I think is indicative of sort of where we're going. You've got Samuel Alito, Supreme Court Justice, saying that limits on free speech are dangerous, saying that he thinks people should be able to write and post, you know, whatever they want and speak however they want, which, again, on the surface, a lot of people think is a great thing. Then you've got this story at Wired.com about, I guess you could call it spies, spooks, infiltrating the UFO community, trying to track down who might or might not have information, presumably on military bases and some of the capacities those bases have. And we talked about the surveillance cameras, the speed cameras. We talked about the audio and video fingerprinting that Google is pioneering in conjunction with YouTube and probably the RIAA as well. And then, of course, talked about this one. The FBI terror watch list with names admitted at, or I should say, admitted the total number, 509,000. And again, I'm sure these are not even numbers. I'm sure they're rounded up or down, most likely down. And again, when you've got 509,000 names on the FBI watch list as potential domestic terrorists and only 350,000 names as far as planet-wide terrorists, that distinctly makes me suspicious. Again, that the majority of the terrorism focus is simply on the U.S. and on American citizens. Now, again, if you look at the grand scheme of things, the American people are the biggest threat to the global takeover that the New World Order types, the Luciferians, have planned for us. Why? Because we have the ability to have some freedoms. We're accustomed to that. Now, granted, we're not staying accustomed to that because we're not exercising those rights, the right to speak, to interact, to communicate, to spread the word, to talk, to gather. We're not doing these things, not enough, and not as a whole. And that, to me, is a great, great, great tragedy. But also, of course, you factor in that the majority of America is armed. That also probably puts up a little bit of a roadblock there. Now, how much of all this is going to change as a result of other things like the immigration bill, which talks about detention centers? Out of old U.S. military bases, which are obviously secure, terrorists are not going to be attacking those, no matter how much they think they might be or where they're being accused of it. I don't know. The point I'm getting at here is that the conditions are ripe right now in America for big changes. Now, are they good changes or bad changes? I've seen some great ones. I see grocery stores all over the area here stocking a lot of organic products that they've never had before. I think it's wonderful. I think that you look at Bush's poll numbers, you look at Congress's poll numbers, they're in the toilet and swirling around the bowl pretty quick. People are falling away from the labels of Democrat and Republican, and they're going for more independent sort of parties, third-party candidates. They're interested in something different than what they're being offered. These are all great things. So how do they keep the people back in line? I don't know. We'll talk about it with our special guest, news analyst Greg Colson, when we come back in 3 minutes. Stay with us, folks.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
1, 2, 3.
Friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited that you're here with us. Very excited our guest has joined us. I met Greg, I don't know, it's been a while now, but boy, I just tell you what, it's always a real pleasure to find somebody who has just thrown themselves into the news and into its, you know, picking it apart so much that they're just an absolute genius when it comes to world events and analysis. And Greg Colson is with us, news analyst and a great friend of the show. We appreciate you being here tonight, my friend. Greg?
Yes?
There you are. Hey, welcome to the show, buddy.
Somebody was slow about pushing the button, eh?
So it would seem. That's all right, though. We'll let it slide tonight. Hey, I'm just glad you're here, man.
Me too, man. Me too.
So I'll tell you what. I'm curious where you want to go first, but one of the things I think is most intriguing right now is looking at the Middle East and with the Palestinian peoples and that area, because quite simply we've seen this before and we're seeing it in other areas as well. But an intentional destabilization in order to change government. Now they've admitted that they're going to do that with Iran. They certainly tried to do it with Iraq. They're doing it right now with Iraq between the Shia and the Sunni, trying to turn them against each other and create some sort of civil war type of scenario in order to have the excuse to get more troops over there into Iraq. Well, now when you look at what's going on between Hamas and Fatah, you've got basically the government being dissolved, and they're talking about elections. Now, you know, the United States has been at the forefront of objecting to a Hamas-led government, quite simply because Hamas is on the terrorist watch list and so on and so forth. So they demanded democracy. The people voted. The people voted for Hamas. And the U.S. said, well, no, we want a different kind. We want a different democracy.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on all that?
It's some of the most convoluted stuff I've seen in years.
It really is.
And the fact is, what's really kind of weird, because if you look at the Iranian situation when they were about to have their president election, you know, and then we had picked the other guy, and they, for some reason, you know, the most polls that people did kind of undercover inside Iran, they actually picked this other guy as well.
Really?
Not the guy that's in there now, the Ahmadinejad, because he was so radical against, you know, causing wars and causing trouble. But most of the people on the ground actually wanted somebody more peaceful to actually be a, you know, peace-loving leader that wouldn't lead them down a road to get their asses wiped off the face of the earth.
Oh, yeah. Well, Iran, historically speaking, Iran has always kind of been, you know, sort of on the outskirts, sort of watching the way things go down and biding their time and trying to look long-term at the repercussions of some of the decisions and things they might get involved in. As a result of that, they've been relatively intelligent with a lot of their decision-making. But, you know, with Ahmadinejad, you know, and again, I think you're right to bring up the whole election thing. Here's what happened, folks, if you don't remember all the way back, what, to 2005, not too long ago. But basically, the Iranian election was going on. It got a little bit of attention over here because Iran's been in the crosshairs since 2001 or before, I'm sure before. But, yeah, Bush came out and said, well, we just don't want the Iranian people to elect that Ahmadinejad guy. You know, it's like, so here you've got Bush out there who's causing chaos all over the place, and he's basically, as you said, endorsing the other candidate, telling the Iranian people who they can and can't vote for, and of course they're like, well, we'll teach you a lesson, and then of course Ahmadinejad gets into power. Well, the same thing happened in 2004. You remember there was the videotape of the Max Headroom-looking Osama bin Laden, the computer-generated Osama bin Laden, who came out and basically said for the states in America that vote for Kerry, he would agree to a truce, which I thought was very interesting twofold. First of all, it indicates that Osama bin Laden is more cognizant than the American people for the most part, and certainly more so than the government, that the states are supposed to be, you know, running the show, and the federal government just kind of holds everything together. But the states ultimately are the ones who should be making the decisions. I think that was interesting. Also very interesting because, you know, no self-respecting American citizen is going to go out and vote for John Kerry when he's endorsed by Osama bin Laden. They're going to want to teach that Arab a lesson. So, you know, you could call it, I think it's certainly election manipulation, whether it's all-out fraud, I don't know, but there's certainly a hand being played on that.
Well, you do bug me, because you brought up the thing about the Russian, you know, spy business and all that, and I've missed so many articles lately, I've just passed over them, and now you make me want to go back and look up some stuff, because I'd seen a few, like from Pakistan, India, and other stuff, where they're actually finding Russian spies in multiple other countries.
Yeah, that's true.
And you got to ask yourself the question, you know, what? How come they haven't been uncovering any U.S. spies or like British spies? And the UK link, this new UK link thing, they said they have. There's a link between some nuclear stuff that's been passed on to Iran through UK sources through the MI6. You know, and it's like, why isn't anybody putting all these funny connections together and actually pinpointing the reasons behind some of this stuff and what it actually is leading up to?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff being missed out there. Since you called me this afternoon, I perused at least 40 web pages, news pages that I've looked at since the 18th of last month. I go back through them again and kind of putting up a list of stuff we could talk about.
Great.
Between now and, I mean, we could talk for days, man.
I know.
But the stuff that's out there.
Well, one of the things that I definitely want to talk about, and again, looking at the whole thing between Hamas and Fatah, I think that is certainly very intriguing. Of course, Israel is contemplating, you know, basically what you've got is Fatah has requested from Israel, from what I understand, military supplies, because they basically want help in fighting against Hamas. Now, you know, Israel's not going to do that, but they're not beyond, I'm sure, you know, possibly considering a stabilizing force. I know the UN is contemplating sending in troops. So, you know, they're getting what they want. And again, you know, just this whole idea of destabilization, of this war without you know, our boys and girls shedding blood. I mean, this is what it's all about. That's what they're trying to do with Iran. And then I'd come across a story that, from you that you had sent to me about a Masonic connection with the with Iran. Do you recall that story offhand?
Yes, that's a really spooky connection.
It is.
To think about these guys that were kicked out of Afghanistan, kicked out of Iran at some point in time, and these Masons actually want to get their foothold back there again. That's you know, when you go back and look at this portion, you know, this aspect of it, when looking how Europe dealt with, like, the Knights Templar and stuff and got rid of them, and how they fought their way back into it, it just puts more validity to some of the stuff that Albert Pike talked about.
Yeah.
About how they really want to set against the Islamic world and against the Christian Jewish world and just have them annihilate each other. And I've seen numbers of reports on that lately that people have been uncovering some details behind the scenes with that. And what also intensely pisses me off, that it's hard for people to figure out what country do we live in and what real control do we have? Who's really control behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Is it the British Empire that still considers the United States a British colony? Or is it the Nazis involved? You know, how is these interconnections of all these other people? And I've seen that guy, that guy Rothschild, he just died today.
Oh,
98
yeah?
Years old.
I didn't,
yeah.
I hadn't caught that.
98. Yeah, he just died at 98.
Wow.
Their family was worth somewhere in the neighborhood of, God, in the billions of dollars, even in the as far back as 1850s. You could imagine they're worth trillions now. But for a guy like that to finally pass on and leave his legacy on to somebody else, usually there is a measure of trouble that comes from a death like that.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, because then you've got some young upstart who's been,
exactly,
you know, wanting to do things his way for a long, long time, been unable to do that. Now, this young upstart's probably in his 70s,
yeah.
You know, at that point, but still,
yeah.
That's...
The other serious thing behind that, it made me want to bring up something else, too, that I thought about before, you know. But the fact that, like you say, there's these young dudes that want to get in there and involved in their situation and how they want to run things. And it goes back to some of the stuff I can venture and wager a guess that I can ask you a question that not a single guest you've had any time that you can think back far enough has asked this question. And here's the question. I wonder, in this country, and just I'm painting a pattern to make you think, in this United States of America, when was the last time we heard of anything big in the news, like you know, like the old case we had against the Teflon Don thing in New York and whatnot? You know, the Teflon Don, the guy that was, you know, pretty much impervious, underworld crime lord. How come we have not heard anything in the news about any of these kind of people at all since, like, I can't even think. I can't even think how many years back.
You're talking about organized
10.
Crime, in essence.
Yeah, there's not any news talked about any of these people any further, especially after September 11th.
Yeah.
I've asked myself this question, and I've thought about it really hard. Has organized crime ceased to exist in the United States, or is it just not being talked about because there's other stuff that seems to be pushing them out? I mean, I've even looked at local news in different places that are pretty prominent where these guys have operated all for years. And you don't hear nothing anymore about it. It's all been smeared out. I thought about this, like I said, long and hard. I'd like to actually get a hold of some of these people behind the scenes and ask them what they think of the U.S. situation is. How much invested have they got in the United States of America, that how much they love this country, how much they're seeing the direction of things that are going, national ID card, all the, you know, global ID card, you know, the thing with the G8, they just approve a thing for Interpol to have a global, you know, database on human beings.
Wow,
and everybody.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You got to check all my email, bro. Before the end of each day, before you catch on the news, you got to just peruse through there and see how many different things I've got listed there, because some of this stuff I try to hit the most point of interest.
Oh, I know. You send me a lot of stuff, but you certainly you don't get it all, because there's a lot of things I come across that I find from you a couple days later. But, no,
yeah.
You're right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. And again, you know, in the realm of trying to fit it into 3 hours on the air, it's picking and choosing. Hang on a second, my friend. Quick break, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more from our special guest tonight, Greg Colson, and, of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
Attention gardeners. If you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and our special guest tonight is Greg Colson. Greg, welcome back, sir.
We were talking about this thing about the...
The G8 and the global ID cards. That's fascinating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Leading into something in there, too, and this whole idea of asking the question of, has organized crime ceased to exist in America as it used to be? Do they also, we're talking about Russian mafia, we're talking about Sicilian mafia, we're talking about, triad, the Chinese mafia and stuff. Are we talking about people that actually, they feel a threat as well with this new world order system that's coming, and they're going deeper undercover or getting out of the business in a lot of ways? Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've looked into this, mm-hmm. and I've asked myself some interesting questions about this that led me down some roads to find out some answers. That most people wouldn't be too happy to find out.
Well, I'm definitely anxious to hear.
When you look at this overall big, gross picture, this big picture, it leads into several things. It goes right into what you were talking about, the Hamas and the Fatah and all this system. And it pulls up something that's quite unique and different. Okay? If these other mafias have gotten out of the business, they've gone undercover, they feel threatened, they're just kind of pulling off the stakes and just hiding out, going back to the old, you know, gambling, prostitution thing, like, you know, just the small-time stuff. They're not dealing with the big things anymore because they feel threatened as well. Mm-hmm. What's happened in the offshoot from that? When I was in the prison system, working the prison system as a security guard in Texas, I noticed some things, and I looked. It got me thinking about some stuff. And when I seen, after September 11th, and I got out of the job, got rid of that, you know, that whole world of chaos and everything.
Yeah.
When you look at it and you say to yourself, there is more Mexican gang activity that's getting bigger, more prominent against even the black Muslim gangs and stuff, but they are growing together in some ways in alliances. But how in the hell is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Not only so much how, but why as well. But when you look at things like I've seen the article, if anybody wants to Google this out, they'll find a pretty interesting page that kind of throws several things together in one wad. And it says, it's 2007, nuclear attack and invasion of the United States. Just Google that in there and ask yourself some questions about some of the articles, mainstream stuff we've been talking about, Frank's been talking about. It pulls up some stuff that asks some very serious things. When it go down through here and you find out that says Chavez, then of course there's a lot of things that are kind of oddball that come out of WorldNet Daily, but
yeah.
They bring up stuff that makes you ask questions why they're bringing it up.
Yes.
Chavez has been reported by a defector to have given at least $1 million to Al-Qaeda. Okay. If Al-Qaeda is an American-produced and operated entity operating internationally, leftovers from Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda only exists in a small scale in Afghanistan when it first started. You know, bin Laden was part of the group, you know, owned and operated by the CIA, planted in Afghanistan to help foster a connection between the United States and Afghanistan for us mm-hmm. to be able to arm the Afghans against Russia, yada, yada, so forth and so on.
Right.
So when you break off all this stuff and just peel it out and later, years later, bring up this name again of a pretty much phased out, non-existent entity called Al-Qaeda, put the same old face on it of bin Laden, give him prominence he really doesn't even have, and start playing with this game about this thing, and then weeding in somehow, using that as a base of operation, a base of connection. The United States has used this thing as a base of connection to get in with other groups, to infiltrate groups like Hamas, Al-Fatah, and all these other things, and Al-Aqsa Mosque-type, you know, incidences and things that they want to, you know, the Israelis are trying to, you know, do under all the, you know, Muslim things, and the Muslims are trying to do under all the Jewish things. You got all this stuff going on, and then you throw in the supposed to be supposed enemy of the United States, and you look at Chavez giving money into this thing that you can call Al-Qaeda, that some people have named it. You got to ask whose side is this guy really on?
Good question.
How much of this stuff on the world scene as a whole has absolutely nothing to do with what we think it does, what it's presented to in the news? But I'm going to tell you something. The reason why they can't get rid of the Internet, it's public record. It's a platform and a forum they can use as public record for this new thing, whatever they're producing toward World War III. They're giving all this news. They're gearing all the news. They're priming people's minds to understand this is the source that they're going to use as proof and evidence against whatever they want to use it against in the future at some point. It's just going to be it's a proof reference that people can go back and look at it.
I see.
That's one reason why they can't get rid of the Internet.
The reverse breadcrumb trail, as I like to call it.
Yeah. The queer thing that came out in all this, when you see this big thing, this name called the MS-13, supposed to have, you know, several thousand members all throughout South America, bleeding into the United States. Supposedly there's this thing that they've started. I've seen this article I mentioned to you that you had missed somewhere. That dealt with, let's see if I can pull that one up. It says it's MSNBC dealing with Hezbollah is developing a Western base. And of all places, in this little it's almost like a tri-country area. It borders Paraguay, which is, if you ask yourself the question.
I know, absolutely. Let me ask you to hang on here, buddy. We got a short break, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more from our guest, Greg Colson. Of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please, folks, stay with us.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Ladies and gentlemen, glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I'm thrilled you're with us. Keep in mind, this hour being brought to you by good friend Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. I should call it the must-have book. It's a vital component to your freedom, folks. You can learn how to live, how to bank, how to work, and how to live anonymously right here in the United States. Now, again, Grant Hall is a privacy expert, and he teaches you how to do this, not just to avoid, of course, threats against you, although that's certainly a great possibility. Threats against your assets, threats against fraudulent lawsuits, threats against stalkers, and threats against identity thieves. It teaches you all the things you need to know to protect and secure yourself in this day and age, in this day and age of a surveillance society that we live in. So by all means, folks, pick this up. It could just save your life. Hopefully it will never be needed to do that, but it certainly could. Privacycrisis.com is the website. You can link up to that through republicbroadcasting.org. Pick up the ebook there at privacycrisis.com. Also, the hardcover version. Look for it used at Amazon.com or ask for it at your local bookstore, Privacy Crisis by Grant Hall. And, this, of course, we ask you to support our sponsors and advertisers, the people who make this show possible. And we love our guests as well, people who make the show completely different and interesting than probably the directions I would take it, because they just bring a whole wealth of knowledge and information from their own research to the table. And Greg Colson, news analyst and friend, is doing that with us here tonight. Greg, welcome back. We left off.
Thank you, man.
I'm glad you're here. We left off. You were discussing a terrorist base in Paraguay, which is the location of Bush's brand new ranch, right?
Absolutely. It borders on three places. The name I was trying to remember, they call it the tri-border. It's Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. And from what the indication they're coming up with here on MSNBC, by help of other officials, they're saying that Hezbollah is, you know, it says here they've been mining the frustrations of many Muslims among 25,000 Arab residents from families immigrating mainly from Lebanon in two waves. One was after the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, and the second was the 1985 Lebanese Civil War. So, but before I dig into this a little further, I want to set a mental precedence for people to understand how information is used against us. And I want to give you two examples of how information is used against us. And once you understand that and put this mental image in your mind and understand the use of words and how they're applied and how they're hiding things behind a name of a type of thing. One of them is how our name is used as a signature, or when we write and sign something. According to Black's Law Dictionary, what constitutes an actual true international law about legal binding contracts, it requires one, you know, for a contract to be true and honest between parties, okay, we're talking about more than one person, we have to have two or more signatures on that to be a legal binding contract. So when you sign up for a credit card, you only sign one name at the bottom of this thing called an application. This name that you put on there, there's a legal term that's used for that, and it's called an endorsement. It doesn't make it a legal binding contract because nobody's there with you signing that on the other behalf of the company that you're actually applying this credit card for. So it doesn't actually constitute a legal binding contract according to international law.
Interesting.
That'd make your mind curdle a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So you look at the things like when you sign a petition for something, you'd like to get 30,000 names, you sign a petition on something, you're giving your name as an endorsement to the petition because you're just one signature on one copy of this petition. Another way to look at how things are used against us from two different angles, and I've kind of only undug this one recently because I came across this from a very unusual way of approach. I discovered something. I was analyzing some things about Soho images and stuff. I'm fixing to reveal something that uncovers a lie that's been laid out on everybody. And if they understand the difference between something called an image and a photo, when you get a photograph of something, you have an accurate, unmanipulated image. It's not just an image. When you call it a photo, like you take a photo of Abraham Lincoln, or a photo of you know, George Bush, and you got this actually constitutes a photo. It's an accurate, unblemished, untarnished, accurate account of what was seen at the very instant you took the picture, okay?
Okay.
When you get something called an image, you can clarify what this image is because you go back to things like, you know, line drawings in books from years past when they didn't have photos. They had illustrations. An illustration is nothing but an image of something a person saw with their own eye. An image can be not an exact representation of anything you're looking at, but an approximation of what you're looking at. So when you see a Soho image, and you see on other titles and other things it says photo provided by NASA, or image provided by NASA, image is more likely, it's undercover. In a backdoor way, mm-hmm. They're giving you a hint that this image of something that they're showing you has been touched up, changed, altered, or...
Right. It was a photo at one time.
It was a photo that turned into an image because it's been computer manipulated.
Hmm. Fascinating.
Ain't that something to think about?
Yeah.
So you look at the news the same way, the information. You do this all the time. You know, I see you, Frank, you picking through stuff all the time. And we all, and you, me, both, we find contradictions in everything.
Yeah.
When we're looking at this thing about this MS-13 business and Hezbollah and Fatah and all this stuff, you might as well just name it one thing. You might as well name it the opposition. Because they're all one group in some regard. Because I don't think, if you think like, you know, in this country, people belong to gangs or they don't belong to gangs. The people that don't are non-gang members, and the ones that are gang members.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are gang members that live in, you know, the nation of Iran? They're actual, you know, promised people that have sworn an oath to this, you could call it a coven, of evil dudes that are intent on committing crimes or perpetrating something heinous in many different ways. And I take John Moore's approach, you know. Radical Muslim, radical Islam is the minority, and not the minority, it's the majority of the people. You know, the majority of Muslim Islam is, you know, radical. They're not, you know, there's the minority of the people involved, or you'd say like, you know, Christianity, you're talking about Catholicism. Catholics are the majority because there's more of them. Lutherans are lesser. They're just like a minority of the group, so they're not as militant and hostile in past tense. There's past examples of, you know, the Catholic Church was with the Inquisition and all this stuff. The Lutherans didn't ever have examples of that, or Episcopalians or some of these other people. So you look at this situation of down there in South America, this thing called MS-13. Why would Hamas come over here to America? And it's that one particular article is talking deeply about how these people are interconnecting with each other, swapping money, and then you throw in someone like Chavez that's throwing $1 million at the cause, and is calling out. They're naming it Al Qaeda, but you don't. So we don't know exactly what group got it: Hamas or Fatah or Hezbollah or any of these other groups. We don't know exactly who's specific, but they're all in one group called Al Qaeda.
Mm. So it's kind of like just a catch-all umbrella term. Okay.
So basically, Al Qaeda is an image. We can see it as an image that is produced by the federal government as our enemy. It doesn't really truly exist. It's been touched up and manipulated to look like there is something to be had, and we've been had by this image that they presented to us through the news of what this problem is, and it's not really there. And it's a fictitious, fraudulent thing, and we all, you know, there's too many of us already know and figure that out. Hopefully the people who are listening to the news tonight will sit back and look at it from a different perspective than they had previous when they looked at the news.
Sure, and I agree with you. I mean, to a great extent, I think that Al-Qaeda, and again, and I've said this before, Al-Qaeda, all that is marketing, honestly.
Yeah,
I don't think it was real at all in any capacity. And,
yeah,
you know, then they started saying, well, Al-Qaeda's done this and Al-Qaeda's done that. And people view that as, wow, somebody's striking at the evil America. I want to be a part of that. So then you have legitimate recruits for a non-existent entity, and you just got to say Al-Qaeda affiliated in order to contextualize the fact that they're trying to join an organization that doesn't really exist.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's pretty
And
calculated.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because if from a marketing perspective, some of the things, even if you go, you know, the next level up, and look at the New World Order system and all those people involved in that, which actually produced this little marketing campaign called Al-Qaeda. They've also produced all these other things we've had happen in the United States. As you know how it is when you produce a new product, you want to go out and have a test market?
Yes.
You go test it out there in a certain area to see how people react. Most of the crazy-ass things that's happened in America amongst, you know, national ID card here, a little bit of something, you know, gay marriage thing over there. These are test marketing things. They're actually producing these ideas and forwarding out there these plans to try and see how the public reacts and how much opposition there is to it overall. And most of the stuff, because it doesn't, has anybody ever asked the question why, you know, if on a federal level they've come up with these ideas to do certain things, how come they're just spot checking certain areas of the country with this sort of a plan? And it's not a national sort of sweeping thing that's affecting everybody. You know, know, like with the border checks, the different places in different states, they're playing with stuff, you know. They're playing with stuff in California to see how it reacts. There's a large number of people, and they wanted to see how people do stuff with this and how they, you know, how it can manipulate people or not manipulate people in certain, you know, versus, you know, from Eastern background, you know, from the East Coast, how, you know, these kind of culture of people react to it versus the South versus the Midwest versus the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I think they're test marketing a lot of these queer ideas. Because, here, if you think about it, from a bottom-line perspective, when the United States is knocked off, what's going to happen after that? I mean, if the United States is completely obliterated, and I do suspect, I mean, there's more things prophetically saying that the U.S. is going to get popped off. But the thing I'm looking at from this is it's the United States government as we know it is going to get smeared off the face of the earth. Most people that have a prophetic perspective in that regard do not say, from what I've heard them speak about it, and they have been accurate about other things worldwide at different, you know, times for the last 30 years, say. I could give an average from amongst all the people I've, you know, paid attention to, and just, you know, to check out what they're saying. You know what I mean? This thing is that none of them seem to have a vision of the America of what it should be or what it will be after America gets knocked off. They don't. None of them really point out the fact that, you know, all this plan, this SPP thing, this Security and Prosperity Partnership of America, American Union, however you want to name it, most of it behind the scenes of people I have personally come across and other people that have confirmed it from other people that have come across the same thing have all pointed out when, and I could throw in articles that go on all day, that, you know, like the one that talked about this asymmetric war that's coming that's going to decapitate Washington, D.C. This major news article came out with that last month talking about that very thing. And I'll get into the article in here in a little bit. But when they're discussing this idea, their plan is to make Denver, Colorado, the capital of the United States of America. Whatever United States of America there will be after this World War III condition, partly due to if you look at the global melt-off or the ice caps, and, you know, it's happening rapidly, and even scientists have flubbed and let it leak out. But, you know, it's happening faster than they expected, faster than they've calculated. The Inuit Indians up there, you know, the Eskimos and such, the different Indian tribes that live up in all those regions, they're hearing thunder that they've never heard before. There's no thunderstorms happening,
right,
but the ice is breaking off in such vast, massive mm-hmm. quantities. It's just the crack of, you know, ice breaking is like thunder to these people. And it's massive stuff. And you've seen the maps that I've sent about the 100 meters. I've looked for a long time waiting. I've waited for a year to somebody to come up with a map that shows a world map of what the oceans will look like after they rose 100 meters. Have you seen that one lately?
No, not recently.
That's in one of those emails I sent. Go back and look for that one mm-hmm. and check that out, because that's the first maps I've seen. I've sent you ones before that kind of had from the USGS showing the different purple, you know, different grades of colors. Mm-hmm. This one actually is a world like green, you know, blue water, green land, brown land. This one shows the entire globe as a 800 by 600 pixel text, you know, type file. You can pull up the, you know, photo image. You can pull this up and look at it, and it's quite phenomenal. The different places around the world that it shows how hard the water, you know, how it's come up on different places. There's places that are, you know, you look at Britain, and at least better than 20% left remaining of Britain after the water rises 100 meters, 260 feet. People can't imagine this in their mind. The thing that, if you had caught Zeph's program he had there just last weekend, I think it was, Sunday, it was James McCanny. If you catch that interview, it was really prominent mm-hmm. that everybody should go out and look at the archives, zephnet.com, mm-hmm. check out James McCanny's interview he did with Zeph, talking about this very thing, about the oceans rising, and how the Queen Mother came over to visit America, and she stopped at a visit over in NASA, of all places, to check stuff out. Is there reasons why people don't seem to connect all these different massive amounts of things that are interconnected? If we make our circle around and come back to this MS-13 business mm-hmm. and find out why China is involved and Russia is involved, I've seen nothing in the news that talks about, you know, any conflict between Russia and China. Have you? I've seen treaties, they have different things that they've done things. They must not be at Ogden. It's hard to say.
I mean, nothing too special, no. Why?
Yeah, it's just kind of weird how they're on the same page with plans together, how they're planning both, you know, like Iran's getting nuclear help from both China and Russia and North Korea all together in a certain, like a little patterned, organized situation again. Anymore, Frank. When I look at the news, for some reason, it's hit my mind lately, within the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. It's like the awakening thing, being woke up to another level. I mean, we've woke up to how the world new world order looks. For some reason, I'm looking at it from an even higher perspective, because it seems like I no longer see political entities anymore. I just see different versions of the same, like, you know, skull and bones people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I can't even look at political aspects, even with this American situation we're in. I don't even see, it doesn't even look fortuitous. You know, when I look at it, it's fortunate that the way the thing is going, because it doesn't look like, from one perspective in the news is coming, there's not going to be an election.
It certainly does seem that way. Yes, absolutely. Let me ask you to hang on, my friend. Folks, just a short break, only 3 minutes. And we're back with our good friend Greg Colson. Of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Good morning, my friends. Welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and here we are at the tail end of hour number two, and it is moving by quickly. Greg Colson, our special guest tonight. Greg, welcome back, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I hope we have a groundbreaking moment here.
Okay.
For everybody to have, you know, to have a mind-splatting idea to understand how this situation really is. I think we're at a, like in the gaming world, we're at a level-up moment.
Yeah.
Where we can point out to people, you know, there's no such thing as politics anymore. There really isn't. I mean, we talk about it every day because it's on a ground level bit of understanding that people can reach, but I think it's time for them to step up. And notice that, you know, Europe, this like Illuminati region, Europe, Illuminati region, USA, South America, all that stuff. When you look from that perspective, you can see behind the scenes. When Daddy Bush, you know, Bush's papa,
yeah,
in September 11th, 2001, when he made that announcement before the World Council, before UN, before all these other people, when he talked about the word New World Order, that wasn't when it was, you know, still in the works. People need to understand that thing already existed. It has all been, it's been there a very long time. This goes back to every major president we've had,
yeah,
since World War I at least. Hmm. And you can think that every stinking country in the world are sitting on the same page. I mean, hell, they're talking about as an image to the world, they're talking about how a crisis between the, you know, this missile shield thing is such a crisis between the U.S. and Russia. And, you know, Putin is coming over for a 4th of July dinner weekend at the Bush's little house in Maine up there, July 1st and 2nd of this year. Anybody catch that in the news?
No.
You know? When you throw this stuff in here, when they're coming in, you know, Putin's coming over to have a, you know, nice peaceful visit and a barbecue in Bush's backyard, for God's sakes. Things are not on the level that everybody thinks it is. When they had the Arabs, you know, some of the Arab dignitaries, it was over the day of September 11th in a major hotel downtown New York discussing some stuff, you know, the day before, before September 11th, and you know, Bush's, you know, family members, all this stuff about politics is just all, you know, it's facade, man. It's some of the worst thinking stuff that you can possibly even suffer having wasted so much time trying to configure out, because it's just for show. I mean, it's the facade, the image that's put on the world to get them to think this is how really things are. But behind the scenes, everything is already pre-written, pre-engineered, pre-worked out in advance. And there's hardly anybody left of any major country that's not a player in the game, that hasn't been involved in it for, you know, all their families' lives, for numbers of generations. And it's just unbelievable that people don't, you know, some of the major people that are presidents of other major countries came over to America and got their English education over here in the U.S. of A. before they became major prominent people, dignitaries, ambassadors, and all that. Does that not say something about, you know, the origins of things that are versus what we think it is?
Well, and I think that's really the main thing, Greg, and I think you touched on an important point here. Most people would view politicians as idiots, and they would say, why would they think of doing something so stupid? And why would Bush want to open up the borders when he's talking about terrorism and how we're going to be struck again, and he wants to turn over port security to a foreign country? And how could he be so stupid? And how could they be so stupid? And how could they make up these stupid ideas? That's just it. They're not stupid because they know. They absolutely know. Hold on a second, my friend. Folks, we got to pause here for a brief station ID. We're back in 90 seconds with the home stretch final hour of the show. More Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.